One would think that storms would have stopped when Jesus walked on the earth. Well, he made the planet and fashioned weather systems, the atmosphere, the wind, and the rain. We might suppose, for the time he was on earth, that the world would have been storm-free, that God would have suspended natural law and spared God's Son the discomfort of driving rains and fierce winds. Or we might suppose that Jesus would have walked around in a protective bubble. You know, surround the Savior with a protective sphere so he doesn't get rain-soaked or cold or afraid or windswept, so that he would be spared the storms of life on earth. And lingering around in the silent halls of our human hearts are some similar unexpected, unspoken expectations. Now that I belong to God, I get a pass on the tribulations of life. I get a bubble. Others face storms. I'll just live to help them. But face my own? No way. To follow Jesus is to live a storm-free life, right? I wish I could tell you that, but the truth is, life comes with storms. Jesus told us in this world you'll have trouble. Storms will come to you, to me. Storms came to Jesus' first disciples. Sometimes we create our own storms. In fact, we're pretty good at creating storms for ourselves, but sometimes a storm blows in and, well, we don't have anything to do with its creation. We're doing our best to follow Jesus like the disciples who launch a boat out on the Galilee just like Jesus told them to, only to sail full speed ahead into a riotous and violent storm. They didn't turn around. They kept digging their oars into the Galilee, trying to pull their boats across the sea, but they fought a losing battle. Too far from the shore, too long in the battle, and too small a vessel in a huge storm. Well, just climb into that wooden craft and take a good look at those disciples. Faces rain-splattered, fear in their eyes, doubt in their movements, wet hair whipping in the wind. And in this ferocious storm, I imagine that one of the questions that's on their mind is, where's Jesus? Well, the answer is, Jesus is on a mountain by himself praying. During this storm that was ripping at the disciples on the Galilee, Jesus was praying. Even though his robe was soaked and his hair pressed to his head by the gale force winds and stinging rain, he too was in the storm praying. I wonder, was Jesus praying because of the storm? Or does the actions of Jesus define the first course of action? To pray for his followers. During the storm, the Bible tells us that Jesus is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. The word interceding is a very strong and sturdy word. It carries the sense of making specific requests or petitions for someone. Biblically speaking, intercessors bring passionate and specific requests before God. Think about this. us. Jesus, right now, at this moment, in the midst of your storm, in the midst of this pandemic, is interceding for you. The King of the universe is speaking on your behalf. He is calling out to the Heavenly Father. He is urging the help of the Holy Spirit. He is advocating for a special blessing to be sent your way, to be sent our way. You do not struggle against the winds and the waves alone. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is standing up for you. Ever had anyone stand up for you? Well, the answer is yes. Jesus stands this very moment offering intercession on your behalf. God, grant these graduates strength to face their futures. Lord, give Tom a special blessing of your wisdom to be a good father. Holy One, give Gloria a special blessing so that insomnia doesn't rob her of her sleep. Creator, send us a vaccine and an effective treatment for this virus. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus, the storm-battered disciples may have asked? Where's Jesus, the sick, the unable, the poor, the overloaded and overextended and overstressed, the isolated ask, where's Jesus? The storm forced them too far from the shore, too long in the struggle, and too small a vessel in the rough seas. Where is he? Where is Jesus? All we see is a perfect mess. But Jesus is in the presence of God, praying for us. Christ presence isn't dependent on our belief or disbelief, isn't dependent upon our fear or joy. His promise to pray for us and to be with us is dependent upon Jesus' promise to never leave us nor forsake us and to be with us till the very end. Knowing that Simon Peter was about to be seriously tested, Jesus assured him in Luke's gospel, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." And Jesus promises to stand up for you. The book of Hebrews reminds us he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Storms come to those who follow Jesus. But when we forget to pray, he remembers to pray. When we're full of doubt, he is full of faith. When we feel unworthy to be heard, he is ever worthy to be heard. When Jesus intercedes for us in prayer, all of heaven listens. I know we'd like to know what the future months will look like, but we don't know. And we'd like to know what is up ahead along this unusual road that we're traveling, but we can't. We'd prefer to have answers to our questions, but Jesus has instead chosen to tell us something else. He says to us, "I will pray you through the storm." Will we make it through this storm or whatever storm you may be weathering? I think we know the answer. And I'm sure there would be those who object. Well, if Jesus was praying, why did the storm even happen? Wouldn't an interceding Jesus guarantee a storm-free life? Well, certainly. And that storm-free life will begin in the eternal kingdom. But in the meantime, in this world, since evil stirs doubt and fear, we can count on storms. But we can also count on the presence and the prayers of Jesus Christ in the midst of the storm. When the storm tries its best to discourage us, Jesus' resolve is to shape us. What the storm intends for evil, Jesus uses for good. The storm's attempts to destroy us will actually develop our faith. Can you imagine the assurance this intercession brings? Tyler Selvin was an 11-year-old elementary school student, and he skipped school one day. He played hooky. Not in order to go fishing with his buddies or to watch TV, but Tyler missed school so he could meet the President of the United States. Barack Obama was visiting Tyler's hometown, and his father was introducing the President at the event. And after the speech, when Tyler met the President realized that Tyler should have been in school. So he asked an aide to get him a card with a presidential letterhead, and he asked Tyler's teacher's name, and then the President wrote, "Please excuse Tyler, he was with me." Barack Obama, President. Now, I imagine that Tyler's teacher excused his absence and granted the President's request. It's not every day the President speaks up on behalf of a kid, but every day Jesus speaks up for you. He always lives to intercede for us. For people of the promise, Jesus is praying. Easter people, in the midst of your storm, Jesus is praying for you. And through the haze and mist of your storm, Jesus is coming. Matthew says that the disciples' boat was far out to sea. There was wind, there were waves, and at about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. After a night on the sea, battered by a horrific storm, they were terrified. And when they saw Jesus, they thought they were seeing a ghost. And what's really neat is that Jesus became the answer to his own prayer. He turned the stormy seas into a sidewalk and came walking to the disciples in the storm. They never in their wildest dreams expected to see Jesus in the storm. Nikki Maples thought she was all alone. Lupus had wrecked her body, slurred her speech, and blurred her vision. She couldn't walk or sit up or could barely move. She could eat only small bites. Her breathing was shallow, and she could scarcely get any sleep at all. The doctors were stumped. Her family was scared. Nikki was only 29, and her body was shutting down. And by the time she was admitted into the ICU, her doctors and her family were beginning to fear for her survival. On one particularly difficult night, she couldn't sleep at all. And she knew that she would rest better if someone held her hand. But since she couldn't speak, she had no way to ask for comfort, and her mother was in the room. But Nikki could tell by her breathing that her mother had dozed off. So Nikki began to pray. God, I need you. I can't go to sleep tonight. Will you please send someone to hold my hand? I can't tell anyone what I need, can't ask anyone. Will you please just tell mom or a nurse or somebody to hold my hand? As you may or may not know, minutes in the ICU pass very slowly. But in what was minutes, someone walked into the room. And Nikki Maples writes in her memoir, "The scent of his skin was unfamiliar, but clearly there were soft masculine tones. His steps made no noise. Mother did not even stir. He took my right hand, holding it. I tried to open my eyes, but couldn't. And Nikki drifted off to sleep. When she awoke, he was still holding her hand. Her mother slept across the room. Nikki tried again to open her eyes to see her new friend, and this time she succeeded. And through blurred vision, she looked, but no one was there. At that moment, the pressure on her hand was gone. Nikki Maples is convinced that Jesus was with her. He did for her what he did for the disciples. He came for her in the storm. His followers called him a ghost, but Jesus still came. The disciples' faith became fear, but Jesus still walked on water. The winds howled, but Jesus was not distracted. He stayed on course until his point was made. Jesus Christ is sovereign over all storms. The disciples, for the first time in Scripture, worshiped him. Truly, they said, truly, you are the Son of God. And with a battered but still boat as their altar, and racing, beating hearts as their accompaniment, they worship Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ who prays for us, who comes to us in the midst of our storms, and who intercedes on our behalf. May you and I worship this Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.